your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back for another solo episode. Today, we are going to be talking about boundaries, specifically how to have boundaries like a boss. Now, if you're thinking, I'm not a boss, I don't supervise anyone, I don't have a business yet, or I have a business, but I don't have a team. Hold on. That's not what I mean by having boundaries like a boss. Boundaries like a boss simply means you are in control of your time, your energy, your effort, and your focus. See the difference? Now, no matter what lifestyle or stage of life you're in, you're going to have the things that are important to you, the things that you want to be focusing on at any given moment. And then there are going to be other people in your life. Sometimes they're people that you've chosen to have there, like spouses and partners and kids and pets and team members. But sometimes they're the guy outside with the weed blower who's interrupting your podcast recording. It's a personal story. Anyway, boundaries and having boundaries like a boss merely mean that you are taking other people's needs, wishes, wants, preferences, and priorities into account, but you're not letting them interfere with your ability to reach your goals. Whenever a woman tells me other people are taking advantage of her, when her clients are overly demanding, when she can't get her kids to leave her alone, or she's never able to get to bed on time and be well rested, boundaries is always on the list of usual suspects. So before we get into any more detail, I do want to say that boundaries are a universal phenomenon in that we all have to deal with them. But everyone has different ideas about boundaries based on a few things. First of all, boundaries are largely culturally determined, meaning what might look like really loosey-goosey boundaries to me from the U.S. might be really comfortable, healthy, and appropriate for someone from Central America. Someone who grew up in a very touchy, feely, demonstrative, emotional family is probably going to have different boundaries than someone who grew up in a very formal and rigid family. So there is no universal prescription for boundaries. There is no way to have boundaries like a boss that everybody can follow. So if you came to the Driven Woman podcast thinking you were going to find a cookie cutter solution, you might as well just move on to the next show because you ain't going to find that here. I think it's important that we set limits and rules for ourselves to follow, but we don't necessarily insist that other people match ours. Now, if you have a business and you want your team members to follow the model of boundaries with clients that you have set as the CEO, that's another story. But I'm the last person to try to tell you what your boundaries need to look like. I'm just here to highlight issues that I see holding women back in their businesses and lives from being as satisfied and successful as they want to be. And boundaries is a big one on that list. So if you grew up with a family that had very loose boundaries, it will be more difficult for you to have firmer boundaries in your business. If you grew up in a family that had really rigid boundaries, it may take you a little bit of practice to loosen things up in your business and life. But there are certain things that you can watch for that help you determine whether you need to do a little bit of tightening or a little bit of loosening. And we will get into some of that. But don't look for a prescription because I won't be able to give you one. Also, one other thing I do want to say is if you have a trauma history, boundaries will most undoubtedly be an issue that you struggle with in your business, in your relationships, and in your life, either because as a child, you were not allowed to have any boundaries and things were done to you that you had no ability to stop or control. And that can either make you have very weak boundaries as an adult or overly rigid boundaries as an adult. So I do want to be respectful in this boundaries conversation. If you have had a trauma history and you are not completely healed from that, some of the things I say you might take issue with or even get triggered by. So a little bit of a warning in advance. So what's a boundary? Well, let's start with something physical because that is something everybody understands, like a door. I was really surprised as a kid when I would go and visit friends' homes and found that in some families, they didn't even have doors to the kids' bedrooms. I mean, they literally took the doors off the frickin' hinges. Believe it. I had other friends' families that I would go to visit who had doors, but they were never allowed to be closed. Or doors that could close, but they didn't have locks, or they weren't allowed to use the locks. I had other friends, as I got older in my teens and young adult years, if I was visiting, let's say, a male friend, we could be in his room chatting at his parents' home, but the door had to be open. Or the door could be closed, but it could not be locked. Now, parents and kids can communicate via text messaging, even though they're in the same house. So maybe it's a little bit different. But I remember thinking, based on how I grew up, that it was a little bit weird when a parent wouldn't allow their child to have a door or wouldn't allow their child to have a knock on the door. I mean, I personally believe children of all ages need to have some degree of privacy. I would never read my child's diary. I would never walk in on them using the toilet or the shower unless they were so young they couldn't do those things without assistance. But that's my boundary bias. So my boundary bias tends to be set with respect and privacy. So I'm going to seem probably a little more withholding to some people than others. But you also won't hear me complaining that other people take advantage of me because I've worked very hard to set up boundaries like a boss. Ultimately, boundaries come down to two things, access and expectations. So when people say, oh, that person has lousy boundaries or she has no boundaries with her clients or my team has no boundaries, generally we are referring to one or the other. Access or expectations. Oftentimes it's expectations about access. So here's how that looks. For example, when you are starting with a new client, let's say you are a coach or a consultant, or you own a small service-based business, which is many of my clients, and they're very eager to start working with a brand new client. And especially when you're first starting your business, or you are not yet making consistent revenue, you will be very tempted to do this. When do you need me? When would you like to start? As though it's up to the client to make all those decisions. So that, we believe, is coming across as being eager, excited, and collaborative. But it may also unconsciously transmit to that client that I don't have any other work, which may make them think they've made a mistake hiring you because nobody wants to work with anybody that no one else wants to hire. Or it might make you seem inexperienced because you're not setting any limits or boundaries. See, none of this is intended. What we're wanting to signal is that we're excited, eager, collaborative, and service oriented. Those are the expectations that we're trying to set with a brand new client. But because we're not putting in any limits on their access to us, we're basically giving them an open door policy. No lock, no deadbolt, maybe no door on the frame. And that is problematic in a business because it essentially says, I don't have any boundaries, so you better bring some. And in reality, especially in a service-based business, it is really our job to set the boundaries, to establish the expectations for both sides and the access. How might that look in this proverbial coaching, consulting, service-based business? Well, here's one way to do it. When you are setting up that first consultation or that first meeting where you are describing and defining the scope of work, or maybe it's a pitch, you don't give them unlimited access. I was very reluctant for quite some time to get an online scheduler. Why? I perceived it was too formal. I perceived it was off-putting. I thought it was somewhat unfriendly and sort of aloof. Needless to say, you can probably see how this story is going. Needless to say, I was basically inviting my clients to take over my life. And then I was shocked and horrified when they would call me, text me, and email me at all hours and expect me to answer on a dime. Well, maybe they were needy, greedy babies, but I did not exercise leadership in my own business by setting the expectations around access. How would that look? Well, for example, if you do not want to be texted, called, sent Voxer messages, or emailed nights and weekends, put that in your policy or your contract or your statement of work. Put it on your website. Communicate it on your first meeting with a client. And if they forget or decide to test you, don't answer. If you tell your clients, "I respond in one business day," half of boundaries are you communicating them to the other party or parties, and the other half, in fact, the harder side, is you holding yourself to them. And I have found that this is very difficult for most of my clients, and it was frankly difficult for me, because when you're first getting started and you're very eager and you can't believe it, you finally got some clients and you got some good clients and you just want to over deliver and show them how amazing you are and say, when do you want to get started? And when would you like to meet? And if you're like me and you work with people all over the world, you start to get into issues with time differences. It's bad enough when you're on the West Coast and you start attracting clients on the East Coast. But what happens when you attract clients who are in Europe? And now we're talking about an 8-hour difference or a 9-hour difference, or you decide to hire a virtual team or virtual assistants from India or the Philippines because of the cost benefit. And now you're looking at a 12, 15, 16-hour time difference. Can you see how you will quickly get underwater without having conversations around expectations and access? My clients don't have my phone number. I mean, if they really were determined, they could probably find it somehow. But if I don't want to be called, I should not give them the number. And if I don't want to be emailed nights and weekends, then I need to communicate that, respond calmly to questions about it, and refrain from and restrain myself from sending or responding to emails that happen to arrive outside my window. I had to train myself how to do that because each of us only has so much bandwidth. I mean, whatever age and stage of life you are, your business is not the only thing you have going on. You might have a chronic illness. You might have aging parents. You might have a child with special needs. There's any number of other things that require your time, energy, focus, and effort. So without boundaries in your business, you are literally going to be eating up your bandwidth and courting burnout on a regular basis. And it's highly unfair when we blame our clients for expecting so much of us when we never told them what they should expect. To begin with, I have never once since I started doing a much better job of this, and as I've said, it was a process. When I started my first business, I was literally like a sitting duck in the shooting gallery, and everybody was being handed a rifle. Take a shot. I'm right here. I'm just sitting right here. I'm always available. That's not a good thing. It's really not a good thing to be always available. It may make you look eager. But when you are perceived as too eager, people will usually want you to discount your prices because eager is usually perceived as a beginner, not very busy, maybe not even very successful. I am not suggesting that you lie about your availability. I have actually heard of other business coaches recommending this. So I've heard people told when you are giving people a link to your online scheduler for a discovery call or a strategy call to, you know, those coaching calls where you're determining goodness of fit, and they're sales calls for most people. But anyway, when you're giving people a link to your scheduler, you should only put a couple of options, because you want people to think you are so freaking busy that they can barely get a consultation time with you, much less work with you. That can backfire big time. Because first of all, I think people are smart, and I think most people know a con artist, you know, much better than they did a few years ago before the market was flooded with them. But I also think if you make yourself look too restrictive, if your boundaries look too tight, a lot of clients will believe that they may not meet your expectations, that they may not be the kind of client that you want to work with. Hey, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Driven Woman podcast and looking forward to each new episode every Tuesday. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Visit my website at DianeWingardCoaching.com. I have a weekly blog. There's a quiz you can take to find out what your ADHD signature strength is, and some other freebies like the 6 Steps to ADHD Mastery or the Driven Woman Roadmap Fast Track to Success. And if you're ready to get serious about going from spinning to winning and taking yourself from driven but distracted to focused, fired up, and flame retardant, you should definitely sign up for a free consultation. We'll spend 30 minutes talking about where you are, where you want to be, and whatever's getting in the way. I won't try to sell you if you're not right for coaching, and I'm not the right one for you. But if you are, this might be the best way to make 2021 your best year ever. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Have a listen to this.
I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need. Where you were attracted.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through, mostly, in my memory, of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like, this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything, and definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
So how do you know where to set your boundaries? How do you know when you're not being too loose or too tight? I find that what's really, really helpful is don't only look at the number of hours you're putting in. I mean, you can look at your calendar and say, wow, I have clients in Europe and I have clients in Asia and I have clients all over the US. So I am doing calls at 5 a.m. and at 10 p.m. and I have clients that can only meet on the weekends. When I was a psychotherapist in private practice, I always saw other clinicians who were literally taking clients at whatever time the person wanted to be seen, on whatever day they wanted to be seen, and they were usually out of business in 2 to 3 years. Not because they weren't good therapists. They were freaking exhausted. So I think understanding your actual bandwidth and how many hours can you actually work in a day and not feel like you're no longer on your A game. If you're not a morning person, I don't care how many European clients you attract when you live in the US. If you need to see people at 5 or 6 or 7 a.m., it's probably not meant for you. And if you can only genuinely work with 4 one-on-one clients in a day or in a week, without feeling burned out or resentful, then that is your limit. Not setting boundaries means we exceed our bandwidth. Now, you can blame it on the other person, but it's up to you to determine what those boundaries need to look like based on your actual bandwidth, not what you think it should be, not what other people in your space do, not what your biz bestie recommends, or even your business coach. This is your business, your life, and the boundaries need to be set by you, respecting your actual bandwidth. If you exceed your bandwidth on a regular basis, you will burn out. And that would be a real shame because nobody goes into business for themselves to fail, right? But nobody can exceed your boundaries without your full cooperation. So the areas that I want you to pay attention to and look at are the number of hours in the day. How many hours a day can you actually work and be able to bring your A game to every single client that day? I've learned my limits. I learned them the hard way by exceeding them. I have learned what the earliest meeting I can do is and be on the mark, and what the latest meeting I can do and still be on the mark. I have learned that I really don't want to be available whenever anyone wants me to, and I'm even willing to lose a potential client who tells me the only time we can meet is at X day, X time. If I know that's going to push me outside of my bandwidth, I know this is not a relationship that is going to go well. And when you are a coach or consultant, goodness of fit and a genuine rapport is the most important thing. So that's one I have to say no to. It's that important to me that I respect my own boundaries, because I know it's just a matter of time where the relationship will be less than optimal. I'm only human. And if I allow someone to convince me to work with them outside my normal hours or give them anything above and beyond what I usually do, it's not going to go well. Sometimes we have to learn this the hard way. Sometimes we have to learn that our boundaries are too weak by having them breached again and again and again. But I want you to be really honest with yourself. I want you to take responsibility for your boundaries and your business. And remember that anyone who has access to you outside of your bandwidth and outside of your preferred working hours and working limits, you're allowing that. Please don't tell me or tell yourself that that is the industry standard, because that doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be your standard. And frankly, in any industry, I would say in every industry, there are always clients who will rise to the challenge when you set the bar where it needs to be. I remember a couple of years ago, I had a client who claimed that she really wanted to work with me, and I was definitely the coach and consultant for her. But because of all of her other demands, there was only one day, one time of day, and that's when it had to be. I already had a client in that slot, and I don't personally feel that that's respectful or responsible for me to say, okay, I'm going to tell this other client that she has to move because that's the spot that you've decided you want. That's, in my mind, that lacks integrity, and it's very unprofessional. So I said, no, I can't do that. And there was a little bit of back and forth, and I said, you know, it looks like it's just not meant to be. And I think she was really shocked. But I thought, if this is how the relationship is going to start, this isn't going to be good for me anyway. So I said, yeah, I'm sorry. If you want me to notify you when this client has concluded her coaching engagement with you and that spot is available, we can talk again then. So she said, okay, no, that's fine. That won't be necessary. 2 days later, she got back to me and she said, I found another spot. Now, is this because I'm a master of selling? Nope. Is this because I am the boundaries boss? No, I think I am getting to be a boundaries badass. I'm not the boundaries boss, but I respected myself enough to say, I'm not going to do that. And so I'm awfully sorry, this isn't going to work. That may sound like the worst idea you could ever have. That is, why would you turn away business? Are you crazy? But I promise you, if you actually want to stay in business for more than a year or two, being able to work with the kind of clients who are more than willing to accept your terms is worth holding out for. That is a boundary I set and one I encourage you to set as well. Choose the people you want to work with. Choose the hours that you want to make yourself available for that work. Choose what kind of access you are going to allow them to have with you outside of those hours, if any. Communicate them without apology. Answer questions calmly and honestly. And manage your own urges to throw all of that out the window. Because that's kind of the dirty little secret about boundaries, and I would like to end with that. I have been amazed how many times people have worked with me in order to firm up their business boundaries, reformat their offerings, their pricing structure, their availability, so that they didn't feel burned out and resentful in their service-based business. And then the only challenge they faced was they had to wean themselves off of jumping up every time somebody snapped. You can't blame people for testing your boundaries if you've never really had them. But the hardest part is not retraining them to respect your boundaries. It's training you to respect them. And that is, frankly, some of the most meaningful and transformational work I do, because it brings up all sorts of beliefs about worth and value. It brings up our money blocks. It brings up our imposter issues. Just all that juicy goodness that I find gets in the way of bold, brilliant, badass entrepreneurs truly fulfilling their potential. So I hope that this little love chat about boundaries has been useful to you. If it has, please share it with another badass businesswoman who needs to hear it. That's all, folks. I will see you next week with a guest interview. Bye now.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.